All right.
Hey, everyone. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I interview entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses. If you've been listening to me for some time, you know that I'm a little high on this event called Baby Bathwater, where you get this. This is all I want from conferences. I don't need more fancy presentations with better keynote slides and beautiful backdrops. I think those are great. I don't need more of those. What I want is what I used to have when people who were amazing entrepreneurs would come to my office and have scotch with me for like an hour or two, or when they'd come to my house for dinner and we get into it a little bit. I want someone to organize that for me and to have it go on for a few days so we can get in depth. I want someone who, I hate to say this in an intro, but someone who gives a fuck about me and I respect their opinion to just spend some time thinking through what I'm doing, to talk to them about what they're up to really have this kind of conversation. Anyway, this thing, Baby Bathwater, I try not to go to a lot of events. They've done it for years. I'm fascinated by it, so I'm going to go to the event. And like everyone else who's going to the event, I had to talk to the frickin' founders. They will not let you just buy a goddamn ticket and go to the goddamn event. So I talked to the founder. I knew one of them, and I got to know the other one. And I said, hey, what'd you do, by the way, before? And I just kind of tossed it out because the call was supposed to be about me, but I just wanted to find out about who this guy was. And he told me about how he used to sell this like nutrition health stuff online. I go, how much money did you make with that thing? Because I'm always fascinated by those nutrition sites, aren't you? It turns out there was good money in it. I go, you got to tell me more. And he starts telling me more. And then I go, you got to stop. You got to tell me more in a Mixergy interview. Would you do it? And he goes, yeah, I'll do it. I'll come out and talk. I'm kind of an open book, but I don't want to be a jerk to anyone who I work with. I go, great. I won't make you into a jerk to anyone else, but tell me how this whole nutrition business works. And so here he is, the founder of, it's not Baby Bathwater. Baby Bathwater is the event. It's called the Baby Bathwater Institute. They had to take this like funny sounding name and add the word institute to it because that's what these guys are about. Before that, Michael Lovich, the co-founder of Baby Bathwater Institute, was a co-founder of Real Dose Nutrition, which makes a line of doctor-formulated natural products supporting weight loss and anti-aging. Actually, I don't even know if they make it. They offer it. We'll find out whether they made it or not. I want to find out the whole story behind how that business is built and what's going on behind the scenes there. And this whole interview is sponsored by two companies that Michael specifically, he didn't like some of the other sponsors that I had on my list. I always check in with my guests to see what's okay, what's not. He's specifically curious about TopTal and Bench, might ask me some questions about them. So that's who sponsored this interview. I pulled those two sponsors to talk about. I'll tell you more about those later, Michael and the audience. First, Michael, welcome.
Thank you. I was glad to be here.
Dude, how much money did you make at your height before you left Real Dose Nutrition? Give me a sense of the kind of revenue these businesses make.
That company was over 4 million a month. Over 4 million a month.
So over 4 million a month in sales?
Yeah.
What's a typical product that you guys sold there?
You know, we sold very few. So we sold kind of a product. Kind of the backup, you know, we make products for intelligent kind of New York Times readers. So, you know, and we targeted kind of women over 50. So the kind of flagship product was a weight loss pill that would help people who, let's say you're a woman and you're following, or even a guy and you're doing everything right. You know, you're negative calories, whatever, and you're still gaining. There's hormonal blocks. So we created a formula which helped remove the hormonal blocks to weight loss when you're doing things right. It's really frustrating when they're all exercising and they're doing everything right, but they're still gaining weight. So we removed the blocks to those hormones that were getting in the way of that. We were not like a weight loss pill, like with stimulants or a claim that you could eat what you wanted and lose weight. No bullshit. None of that. We made it so if you were doing the right things, you were more likely to lose weight than before trying the product.
And it was all sold online.
Yeah. And we had doctors resell it. Because what would happen is doctors would reach out and they could sell it in their offices, but they were not allowed to sell it online. They could do it.
Because you guys sold it online, they got to sell it in their offices. I got to ask you this. Mm-hmm. Isn't that snake oil? Like you're just basically selling pills that make people feel good and you auto-renew it and the whole thing.
First of all, we never auto-renew until after they tried the product, which is why I want to talk about that because it's the biggest scam going. Yeah, I think most supplements are snake oil and unnecessary, but
snake oil though?
What's that?
Were you guys snake oil? Were you guys just basically selling fiber in a packet?
I think we're opposite of snake oil.
You were the opposite.
Yeah, because we would only put ingredients into our product that had double blind human studies at the dose used in the study. Nobody does that. And we made sure we got the ingredient from the exact same source as used in the research. So our brand promise, which is actually the FDA rules, by the way. So you're supposed to have all that, but nobody does. And our brand promise was the FDA guidelines, which gave us a lot of advantages and made us sleep at night.
I thought all of these guys basically resold the same exact thing, different label. That way they could get around the whole FDA thing. And then they each had better marketing than the other. And that's what separated them.
One is if you private label something, it doesn't get you over any guidelines. So that's not true. So they can private label, but they're still in jeopardy. And so it's FDA, and the FTC is who companies really have to worry about, not the FDA. FDA is kind of the guidelines, FTC enforces. So if you have problems with the FTC, that's when you hear about people like completely losing everything they have. So, you know, that's when you miss market. But no, so different. Some companies formulate their own things. I put us in that category. Some people private label crap. But no, you can formulate what you want. And luckily, like when we started, it's a pretty mature business. So like in the 70s, it was kind of like where the pot industry is now. People are making shit in their bathtubs. There's no regulations. At this time, and even when we started, there's ingredient suppliers. So what the game is, let's say you take ashwagandha, like that's an herb, right? And it has certain properties.
You know, I don't want to get too deep into that because that's the part where I don't follow. But I get it. You're saying, look, this industry was full of people selling snake oil. We wanted to become the guys who were selling something that was really meaningful. And because of your experience, you were able to pull that off. Did you become a millionaire from this?
Personally,
yes. you actually got to see $1 million in your personal bank account, look at it, do the whole thing?
I've seen, yeah, and then have it taken away quickly by my wife and my dad to protect it from me. Yes.
You still married to your wife?
Yeah.
Okay. So they specifically didn't, it's not like you got divorced
I'm not to be trusted with money in my bank account.
Really? So they put it where?
A long-term thing. So when my daughter gets out of college, it's not gone.
Ah, wow. Okay. All right. Impressive. I've talked to some entrepreneurs here on Mixergy. They lost it all afterwards.
I'm horrible with money.
Well, what's an example of something bad that you did with money that
my background, like in my 20s, I was a special ed teacher, so I didn't really have any. And then when, you know, slowly but surely, when I finally got a little lucky in my first company, I could take all my friends from like the special ed world and pay mortgages. And I just took them out. I didn't really understand it. And I just kind of gave it away. I'm kind of a lush. I like to go out and do crazy things. And I was like,
look, give me an example of a crazy thing. Let me live vicariously through you.
Because I feel like a Beverly Hillbilly. So once we had money.
So what'd you do? What was a crazy thing that you bought?
It's like when I was in Fort Worth, like, hey, everybody, let's go to the most expensive place in Dallas. I'll get everything because my friends didn't have.
Ah, yes.
And I'll do that. And then all of a sudden it's fucking huge and I didn't care because I didn't really understand. Well, I didn't understand taxes. Anyway, like all that stuff. I got in a lot of trouble.
Oh, man. All right. I get a sense of where it is. You know what? Here's the thing that I've got from you, though. You're like a really good guy. You strike me as a really good marketer, that you have this sense of business that I don't have because I'm a little anal. And I want to bring more of the craziness of being willing to take people out for a great dinner, more of the outside the box thinking that you have. And that's why I want to go to Baby Bathwater. Does it irritate you that I keep calling it Baby Bathwater instead of Baby Bathwater Institute? No, you're fine with that. Okay, good. I saw you actually before we talked. I said, I'm going to run the name Baby Bathwater by you. And you gave me this look. And then you said Baby Bathwater Institute. I said, oh, this is – maybe he's taking it seriously.
No, it's just funny that we've named it that and we have plans for that maybe whenever. We thought it was funny.
It's a striking name. Everyone keeps asking, what the hell are you talking about, Andrew? All right. You were a special ed teacher, and you got into it because you were in special ed. Let's just go back a little bit in time before we get to your business to understand you.
I was confused, and I had a speech impediment.
You had a speech impediment. What was your speech impediment?
Just mumbling. Nobody could understand me. And I still have that. So, like, when I drink, my mouth goes way before my brain. So I'll get cut off in bars, and then what's funny, like, my business partner, Hollis, gets really mad. He's like, don't you realize he has a speech impediment? And I'm like, no, it's cool. They got to cut me off, like, because I sound really, really fucked up.
How'd you get past that?
Well, I still have it, just a lot of drills, like anything else. You know,
you're just sitting in your car, like the movie, like in the movie Bugsy, where Bugsy Siegel tries to talk American and not like gangster.
No, the kid. So I would go to that's what happens. So I would be, I grew up in Kansas, and the trailer for the special ed people and the speech were the same trailer. So I would go to the trailer, like it was really embarrassing. So at recess, like, where are you going? You're going to the retard trailer, right? And I'm like, no, I'm a speech problem.
So it's still the same trailer, but no, it's for me, it's a speech problem. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So what did they give you? What kind of drills?
Just tongue twisters and enunciation things, just repetition. And over time, I got to where I could speak normal.
Brown
just
leather, yellow leather, that type
that
of
kind of thing.
I wish I didn't have a cold now so that I'm not like talking to a guy who knows how to pronounce things right. Like,
to pick up a caraway. So I still have to think about enunciating. So there's kind of just a disconnect in my head. So when you talk, you don't think about moving your mouth. I have to think about moving my mouth.
You do.
Yeah, to think about sounding clear.
Doesn't that get you too much in your head where you overthink what you're going to say? And yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you walk away going, why didn't I say this? Or why did I say that?
It takes away a chunk of consciousness, which sucks. So yeah. I have to be aware of one more thing, which kind of is a pain in the butt. If I don't think about it, you can't really understand.
So your friend said you're going to the retard trailer. They put them down. You actually realize, hey, you know what? These are really good people.
Yeah, I like
you connected with them. And as a result, what happened?
I just had an affinity. And then when I became, stopped having to go to the trailer and they get picked on, I'd stick up for them. And so just kind of like was always kind of just understood them and they're sweet. Kind of, how do you say it? The Down syndrome kids or those kind of kids, their lack of self-awareness makes them sweeter. They're less, we're all like kind of evil monkeys. Like, let's just face it. We're kind of contrived. We all are. And when that's missing, it's really sweet. And so there's no bullshit, and they'll hug you and it's just, there's sweeter people. It's hard to explain. So
I get it. You know what? I get in my head about that. Like speaking, what did you say? We're all what? Evil monkeys or something?
We're all just monkeys and we're all political. And even if you're a nice guy and I'm a nice guy, we still think stuff and we're self-aware.
Well, not just negative stuff. I think stuff like should I have been clearer that they were a sponsor and that's what we were talking about, baby bathwater? Does that actually change? Like, god damn. Because I want to do the right thing, but at the same time, there's a part of me that doesn't want to do the right thing. And then which part is escaping? And then why? Right. And if I let the bad guy out, it's basically a form of insecurity because I think
faces and we all put on an identity that's not ours because we're self-conscious.
And so they don't have so any of that.
Weird shit humans do that's kind of distasteful. And you have less of that in that community. That's all. Like it's relaxing in a weird kind of way.
Yeah, I still feel like I'd like to have a lot less than I even do. And so let's continue then with your story. So this is your special ed teacher. Help me understand how you end up with this hypnosis network.
Well, I didn't last long in special ed. That's why I like feel bad because I was lasted a couple of years. It was frustrating. And I ended up working with the autism community and we didn't know what we were fucking doing. I really hate to be ineffective. We didn't do a good job. I didn't know what I was doing. And we had like these, I was over in Santa Cruz, Sparrow Valley School District, south of Santa Cruz. And it's like every couple of months, there'd be a new expert consultant come in from SPECT, from San Francisco or whatever, with their new model or their new shit, the new miracle autism cure. And I only had an undergraduate degree and I got way more interested in what the fuck, none of it worked. And they're giving me research and the research didn't seem to work. It didn't make sense to me. And so I lasted a couple of years, burnout, too emotional, too underpaid. It was more just the emotional fact of not being able to help, not really know what we're doing. I still don't think they know what they're doing. And that's the autism, I can go on. I don't think anybody has a solution. They're still getting fucked over by the anti-vax community and all those wackos. So they're a really vulnerable community. It's just sad. And after a while, they just can't deal with how sad the parents are, blah, blah, blah. But I did get interested in how do you read this research? Like, what the fuck? Because they were like, but yeah, the blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this doesn't look like the science I learned. So I did what everybody does when they're kind of in mid-career. I went to grad school. And I had it, I was already in California, got in state. I went to UC Davis to study. The best bag in grad school is to study something called communication sciences. Because that means you can study whatever the hell you want.
That's all communication?
I could go to the psych classes and talk to those professors. I could go to the sociology people. I could go to the media people. Because what the fuck is communication sciences, right? So I could just all these professors from different departments to mess around with and learn stuff. And I wanted to learn the structure of the first thing I came to is I wanted to learn, how do you know what you know? Kind of epistemology, like what's a true statement? Because I was really frustrated with how do you know what's fucking true? Like, what are the ways of truth? How do you prove
truth? Does this get you to a hypnosis business that does seven-figure, million-dollar plus?
I'm getting to it.
Okay.
So I really got into the literature, and then you started getting it. Started, because I could do anything I wanted, started researching all the unconscious stuff, which is really cool, because most of Then you start looking at behavioral economics. So I was reading Kahneman back then. I mean, back, this is in the 90s, there's behavioral economics literature. It got popular way later, but that was stuff we were reading and that was stuff we're into. And just how unconscious we really are. And then if you really want to go start diving into unconsciousness, you start looking at the hypnosis literature, which is real. There's real studies, real literature there, not the fucking fair crap. So I ended up doing my whole thesis on hypnosis as an everyday phenomenon, because it was kind of interesting. You could flip it on its head and you go, well, you're not putting me in trance. We're always in trance, and maybe you can break a trance. So it got pretty fun, and I mastered, you know, call it in graduate school, mastering out. I didn't go on to get my doctorate, so I needed to do the thesis. That was cool. So I'm more of a dabbler. And so that was in my head. I studied that. I knew a lot. I would say I know a lot about the research behind hypnosis. Talked to a lot of great therapists, a lot of good researchers. It intrigued me. It was neat. Went on after grad school, take some sales jobs, was doing all that, did all right. And then when I was also early online, just as a guy searching and messing around. I had a friend who was kind of high up in Yahoo, and she kind of got me into this. So I was just always researching all the time, watching online, thinking this is kind of neat. That was kind of in the 90s, and you kind of watched e-commerce, and I started looking at all this people selling hypnosis CDs, and I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. They were selling stuff that, according to the literature, couldn't be done. Like, they would say hypnosis for memory. Well, hypnosis does not improve memory. You can't. They've studied that. It does not work. But then people selling it all fucking day. And then the people selling hypnosis, they were certified clinical hypnotists, which you can get in 12 weeks, right? You're going to let somebody even 12 weeks. And then I had an acquaintance who got his cat certified by these organizations. And he actually published a whole article where, like, so animals are getting certified, right? And nobody was making, and if you did a reverse search, and back then it was Overture, there wasn't even Google AdWords back then. You could do a reverse search and see how much people were spending. I'm like, wow, there's lots of fucking money in this snake oil that they're selling. And I was like, but I know real therapists. And so I said,
I see this article, certified hypnotherapist, .. question mark.
Yeah.
And that's the post. I don't even think it was called a blog post at the time, but yeah, I see the certification. Is it four different certifications that the cat got?
Yeah. And then I had a follow up because basically they changed the rules that it can't be an animal. That's all they changed. So what a fucked up thing. And I hate it. And I do come from an academic family. So insulting. And then When I was selling like database encryption stuff. So I was traveling to DC, got married, and then my wife's pregnant with Piper, my daughter. I'm like, okay, it's time. And I knew some web, and I was pretty connected. Like my ex-roommate was a webmaster, so I knew how to like make a web page and had the right people. And it was time, and I wanted to create like a proven hypnosis company where I set rules, just kind of like with RealDose. You had to be in practice over 20 years. You know, you had to be a licensed psychologist.
And what they were doing was you would go to these people, you would create CDs with them, and you would sell it on your site.
Yeah, I was their publisher. So I read a book on how to be a publisher. Like, basically, what's the model? And my sister's a lawyer, and her friend drafted me up a publisher contract. And then found a partner who could do the business side, because I could never probably have a business by myself because I can't do the business side or that part. So I'm the creative. I can't ever be this. You know, so I found a person, and he actually had finances to kind of help start it. And he's a real business guy, found a guy to kind of invest in the idea and be that part of the company. He's a great guy, and off to the races. And I just called up my old contacts in academia and said, who's the best at this? And there's only two organizations that are real. There's, you know, the APA, American Psychological Association Division. And then there's the Ericksonian Association. So they only allow real psychologists with doctorates.
And so what you would do is you would publish their CDs, and then you would go out and market it.
Yeah. At first I'd find the right person and interview the buttload of people that was the right, like, if you're going to do diet adherence, well, I want the best person on that. If you're going to do sports, like the guy I got, he was trained Olympians.
You know, am I wrong to brush over this? Because to me, it feels like, yeah, it's work to get it, but I could see how you would get the right people.
Yeah, that's the most important part.
Oh, it is the most important part. But yeah. I want to talk more about the business part of it, which is to promote it. So okay. I don't want to dismiss it, but I want to brush over it and go to the marketing. I get how you get this stuff. How do you get anyone to buy these CDs?
Oh, well, I mean, make a good web page. I mean, I've studied, and also like my background, like communication sciences, I know, and I was a sales guy. And when I was a sales guy, I used the channel, like I know how to sell shit. So, and I know how the web works. So I guess the thing is I'd made it, unlike most people, just create a catalog page. I made a landing page for each product. So I started with 9 products and I got books on how to write copy, which wasn't hard because it was like, wow, they weren't that impressive. So I was able to write persuasively. And then I had the ammunition because I had something to fight against. So I knew basically people were buying AdWords already. I could look at all their pages and I knew what to fight against. So it was pretty easy to go. Somebody had like the main hypnosis keyword. I say experience true hypnosis from real psychologists, right? It's all about the difference. And then, you know, the rhetorical situation was people thought hypnosis was weird and chickens and all that. And I just took care of that with articles and social proof. So that's the thing about the page, and you can buy traffic. And then because I was from a channel background, like if I sold my database encryption stuff, I'd sell through IBM or SAS, you know, the channel. So back then there was kind of cheap affiliate marketing, but I would just go, let's say I had a, give me an example, like we had one for building ego strength, like self-esteem, that kind of thing. So I go to all the people blogging about that and I would say, hey, I'd just write them an email and say, great site. And I'd actually read their site and say, I have something that might or might not be helpful for your people. Here's what it is. Do you want to review it? So I go, anybody who had a list or had a following, I'd ask if they wanted to review that CD. I'd follow up. I just had an Excel sheet that I follow up kind of strategy. So instead of saying, hey, promote my shit, you make all this money, that kind of, I'd ask if they wanted to review, give me a real reason, and follow up to see if they had. And if they liked it, I'd say, hey, do you mind just sharing exactly what you told me with your audience? And by the way, if you want, I can give you a 25% commission. So that's how I built that side of it, one by one by one by one by one, with kind of a really elegant affiliate.
You didn't do any of like the Yannick Silver network where you'd go out to them and they'd help you promote it or any of that?
Network. I went to a Yannick show that actually met somebody, but no, I would email, and then I started going, once I could afford events, I would go to events to meet people. And then our big kind of breakthrough, we had a product that helped people follow their fucking diets. No miracles, but it was...
Yeah, it looks like the diet one is the most popular one. It's Breakthrough Weight Loss Hypnosis Program. Works for 9 out of 10 people.
Yeah, we had it studied, and so 9 out of 10 people helped them follow their diet. So we weren't like, here's your diet, or lose weight in your sleep. It was really fucking simple. If you were given a diet by whatever, the book you read, by your doctor, by whatever, it would help you follow it. And if you're given an exercise plan, it would help you follow it. That's all it did.
Affiliate programs that helped you get the most sales.
Yeah, because then what happened is, like Jerome Rocola had probably the biggest list ever, and he was started giving it to people in his clinic. It worked, and he had the biggest list ever. He started this every Tuesday promoting it, getting the commission. Dr. Mark Hyman, you know, famous doctor, Dr. Amen, all these best-selling doctors, because they realized that if they would sell my program, their program would work better. So we were like an adjunct. So it got to the point, anybody selling fitness products or doctors with their diets or whatever, we just made sense on the back end.
To this day, this seems to happen. Like Newsmax is one of the big traffic sources for it, right? You're smiling. You know that.
Newsmax isn't a traffic for us. No way.
It is, isn't it? Oh, no. You know what? It's for Real Dose Nutrition. Newsmax is big.
That would be an ad that we probably ran years ago.
Probably, yes.
No, Newsmax it's still up. Is not. It's an ad running on Newsmax? Well, that's probably an ad buy on display. So that's not really a relationship. That's called media buying. That's very different. We talk about how that works as you see plan.
I see. You know where I'm getting this stuff? SimilarWeb, my go-to source for stuff like this. For top display advertising, loseweightbyeating.com. This is for Real Dose Nutrition. And then so let's go to the Hypnosis Network. And there's not much going on there right now.
We were affiliate-based. Real Dose is a media buying company. Hypnosis Network primarily got our traffic.
And the Hypnosis Network was more about affiliate programs. All right, let me take a moment to talk about my sponsor, and then I've got to come back and say, I searched for something you told our producer. I can't find it to validate it, and we've got to talk about that. All right, first, you were curious about, who do you want me to talk about first, the bookkeeping company or the hire developer company?
TopTal.
All right, what are you curious about with TopTal? Top is on top of your head, tal is in talent. I've mispronounced it sometimes.
Well, everybody in my group, I mean, one of the biggest struggles is finding creative talent that actually understands marketing, right? So how do you find those people? We have recruiters, but the main thing what people who can do very well complain about is creative talent.
And you want a developer who could do that for you?
No, that's the thing. Not developers. writers, designers, people, and also designers who understand conversion rate optimization, who actually understand marketing. So you have your artist fuckers who make things pretty, but then you also want people who know how to design for conversion. And it's like finding a fucking unicorn. But there's a service that vetted that and actually had people who knew how to convert and design and be creative and maybe make video clips that are slightly above par that actually tell a story to sell something. That would be sweet. So I wonder if TopTal did that.
So you're right. Most people go to TopTal because they want to hire developers, but they do have this whole design arm. And these guys at TopTal are really good at improving their conversions. Like for one of the things that strikes me whenever I go to their site is if I'm brand new, like looking at it in an incognito window and I try to exit, they have an exit intent pop-up and they've had it for years, but it doesn't feel like one of these marketing exit intent pop-ups. These guys know how to design for conversion, but not make it look like they're online marketers. And I'm talking about the people at TopTal. So can you hire a designer from them who is able to think about conversions? I think yes, but I'll tell you what I would do if I were you. Mm-hmm. I would go to TopTal and I would say, I want to talk to one of your people. I'm not looking to hire this guy from a website. I want to talk to someone on your team to tell them all the things that I have in mind for increasing conversion, all the design type of work that I have, and then challenge them to go out and find people. If they find you two people who are jerk-offs, and this is like, this is not what I should be saying in their ad, then you get a sense they're not really getting what I'm looking for. If they find two people who are really good, you can hire one of those two people and often get started with them right away. I'm looking at their website. They do have UX designers, and I do believe that they have designers who can help increase conversions. And I think that's something that designers need to think more and more about, design for conversion. And so what I tell people...
Yes, giants. It's what's missing.
What I tell people is if you're interested, go call up TopTal. The number one complaint I get from people who've called up TopTal is TopTal will not work with me. And I think that's positive. I get it. I'm always very sympathetic with people who email me and say that, but I think that's positive because what they're doing is they're saying, talk to us before you hire our people. Tell us what you're looking for, the quirks of the way you work, the kind of stuff you wouldn't feel comfortable putting on a website that you may not even be aware you're looking for. Okay. We'll go back to our network. We'll find the right person for you. We'll match you up with, let's say what they do is two or three people. If you want to hire them, you can hire them and get started. If not, you could, you just pass and you move on. They're not going to waste your time. But frankly, in many cases, what they say is, you know, Michael, what you're looking for is not what we can do. We're sorry. I've never even heard them refer us to somewhere else. They just say openly, this is not something we could solve. And they tell you that openly. Where it comes up often is, people want to hire developers from them and they have no one to look at code, no one to talk intelligently to the developer. And they say, sorry, we're not going to work with you. If you just are looking for a developer and you don't know how to work with them, it's not the right place. Sure. All right. So anyone who's interested can go to the special URL, and that includes you, Michael. And if you like, I can make an introduction to my guy over there. To toptal.com/mixergy, where you're going to get 80 hours of TopTal developer credit when you pay for your first 80 hours. I intentionally read that very fast. I don't want people to sign up because they want 80 hours of free stuff. And that's in addition to a no-risk trial period of up to 2 weeks. I intentionally read that fast because I don't want people to sign up just for the free trial period. I do want you to sign up because they will take good care of you guys if you come from Mixergy, created by longtime Mixergy fans. And frankly, they're just really good at what they do. Go check out toptal.com/mixergy. And if you're like Michael and you want an intro, email me.
I do.
Andrew@mixergy.com. And let me do this. In 40 minutes, remind me to follow up with Michael and TopTal. Yeah, cool. Now Siri knows exactly what to do.
Amazing.
I love this Siri reminder. All right, let's move on with the story. Here's the thing I couldn't find. You said that you guys were in the New York Times and so on. I did a search. I can't find the Hypnosis Network anywhere on the New York Times, according to Google. And I know that Google seems to be forgetting old sites.
Yeah, we're in the – Pope wrote the article because it was right around when Obama in 2008. We're in the New York Times there. And then we're in the Wall Street Journal for sure, because that was about Neil Fiore and his productivity program.
How did you get into the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and so on?
I don't understand PR at all. New York Times, if we go to our about page of Hypnosis Network, we had all these top therapists. And that page started to rank. So some journalist just called us up for a quote and then blah, 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 and then found us credible. And same with Wall Street Journal. So journalists found us, like the about page. It was more about our therapists than us. and then we got lucky.
Do you remember? So if I search for Hypnosis Network, nothing comes up on the New York Times since 1851.
It'd probably be Roberta Temes. It'd probably be about a program. So search Roberta Temes, New York Times.
Roberta Temes.
T-E-M-E-S.
T-M-E-S, okay.
T-E-M-E-S.
Okay.
So she was our therapist. It was about the program. You do it.
You're going to search too.
Yeah.
Okay, the possibilities in hypnosis, where the patient has the power. Does that sound right?
Pretty much, yep.
Okay, all right, I see it.
November 3rd. Yeah, so it's about the program. It wasn't about us, because I didn't promote us.
And you're saying they just found you because you guys were good at SEO.
No, I wish we knew SEO. We had a page that had all these great therapists, and that started the rank, I think. But no, we were shitty at all that.
So what were you good at? Because I don't want to leave people with this impression that, hey, you know what? We Forrest Gumped our way to success, and then we took that and parlayed it to the next business. What were you good at that I can learn from you?
The biggest part was find an industry where there's revenue, right? And find an industry where most of the stuff is crap, and create something that differentiates itself in a very vivid way, and then say it. So it's all, to me, it's always been about the brand is solving a problem. So if I, like, if my sensibilities, because I do have more of a, I'm a Jew boy, anyway, raised by academics. So if I can go to an industry and go, wow, like, I bet, you know, there's a lot of people like me who's, I'm a liberal, kind of into the science stuff. I bet if I think this, that other people find it to be pretty fucked up too. And then see that there's traffic, see there's money being spent. And this is a smaller market, but wow, people are spending money on pay-per-click, and then create something with the exact opposite of what's being out there. So ours is everything that wasn't. So I went to, so the first thing is, what are you creating? So create something that's opposite of what's in the market. If you sense a gap. So it's just, what is fucking missing here, or what is wrong, and then solve it. So that's the first part. And I think that's the most important part, because you can market all fucking day long and make money for a half a year. But if you have crap or nothing that stands for anything, you're not going to last long. So I'm not a marketer. I'm a guy who finds holes and creates products that I want to see, or kind of stop something like buying slimy, and then market that. It's a lot easier to market something with the position behind it. That makes sense? And that works. And then on the marketing, on the, what anybody can still do, and I think most, if you're looking to market, because there's people who market through media buying, although RealDose, we started with partners to fund us. But if you want to do the relationship style marketing, it's about contacting people in the right way. But if you don't have something to deliver that they can review that's good, then it's not going to work. But
I do see a lot of reviews, and I'm wondering, at the time, they didn't even have to disclose that they were getting paid for the reviews, right?
The affiliates.
Affiliates. They didn't even have to disclose that they had affiliate programs. That was a big thing.
Nobody does it now, even though they're supposed to.
I know. One of the reasons why in the beginning of the interviews, I always say, I'll talk about my sponsors later, is I get really worried that I'm going to violate the rule of, you know, talking about a company and not being clear that they're a sponsor.
Right.
Okay, so at the time, there was no rule to do that. I could see even some of these people are even just linking over without hype. As far as I could tell, they're not even hyperlinking using an affiliate code. They're just linking over. Some are, some are not. The New York Times article is featured a couple of times where people say they're even featured in the New York Times. Here are the pros, here are the cons, go sign up.
Yep, or go buy the program.
All right, this thing was going well. At its height, how much money were you making?
We got like $7 million a year-ish.
And did you pull more than $1 million in profit from that?
I did not know.
Why? Where did the money go there?
I didn't know what I was doing. We spent a lot of stupid money, and a lot of it's still tied up in the company.
Money doing what?
What's that?
Stupid money doing what? Taking people out?
Some of that, and also just hiring really bad consultants. So that's one of the reasons why we had baby bathwaters. I got taken quite a few times.
What's an example of a bad consulting experience that you had?
I want to be careful. I've hired lots of people who would...
Don't mention the name, but like, what's a type of job that you felt?
Investing a lot of money on bad media buys because I didn't know media buying at the time. Or, oh, I'll throw $100,000 at this, or throw this, or, oh, this guy's an amazing copywriter. He'll blow up the business. And they take huge fees. Stupid shit like that.
Right. Why do you think that it was bad? Were they bad, or were you bad at managing them, or what?
Both. I mean, no, they're kind of con artists, but also not vetting them. And then there's also, yes, if you're not a somebody, they take you. You know, you're just kind of the prey.
Right. You know what? I've noticed that. If you're not a somebody, if they don't know who you are, then what they want is to, they make money off of you or they make reputation off of you. If you're not a someone, they can't make a reputation off of you. And so they try to make money off of you. That's the issue. That's why having a profile helps.
Yes. So yeah, that was very vulnerable and I believed a lot of stuff and I was trying to hit it out of the park and then I faded away, you know, to that company. I got lost my motivation and just kind of left. Like I own a lot of that company, but I haven't worked in it forever. Let my partner take it. He's not a marketer.
When you say lost your motivation, what do you mean? You started like sleeping in more, hanging out more, what?
Yeah, I just couldn't do it anymore. And I've never been a good team builder. So I was the creative and we had a lot of programs. And so I wrote all that copy and then I wrote all the emails and wrote all the articles, like every fucking thing. And the world doesn't sit still. So you might have something that's doing well right now. Like you're looking at archives and stuff that 2004. I mean, so shit doesn't work anymore. So you always got to evolve. And I was never able to hire somebody who could market like or write like I could because I didn't know how. And I just burnt out. I couldn't do it anymore. And also, and I realized about myself, I didn't know it at the time. I'm a starter and I do things to prove a point. Like the building the empire thing isn't that interesting to me. So I'm not a natural empire builder. It's not what I'm about. I don't like building companies. I like starting them. It's not what I do well. I'm not a leader of men. So all that stuff that it takes to kind of run.
I know. There's some people who I'm fascinated by who can actually just like, they don't run it day to day. They find the right people and the people deal with it.
It's incredible.
Like, yeah. You know, it was good like that. I mean, speaking in the marketing world, Neil Patel, Saeed from, what is it called? Saeed Balki. He's the guy who runs Optin Monster and a bunch of other software. Okay. You know him?
No, I just know the companies.
He's fan-freaking-tastic at running all these different companies, but he has somebody who runs it for him. Like, will run a piece of the – will partner up with him. And he's always guiding but also easing off.
How do you find those people? I've never done it. I'm just not – it's magic to me. Like we
So Cameron Harold is a guy who used to be a CEO, went to your event. Part of the reason why I'm excited about Baby Bathwater is that he has no reason to say anything nice about anyone, but he had a good time at your event, and he said this is the kind of event that he goes to. He's offered to help me out to think about this because that's a big challenge for me too. Because I just want to drive, like I want to do the work, I want to hard charge through everything, and who the hell wants to deal with a guy who wants to do your work better than you can and wants to drive you to the ground because they're driving themselves to the ground? Nobody.
Yeah, right. I'm a terrible. That's why I always need partners. Like I'm not really allowed to talk to employees. I'm not a good boss.
You don't seem like hard driving like me. I will work to the end of the day until I'm like ready to pass out. I'll do nothing but read Daring Fireball and try to like get myself relaxed.
Well, I've talked to people who are smart about it and it does not seem to translate. I don't know if it's just a personality flaw I can't get over, but I've talked to people who are experts and I've tried to get training and just still not my nature of being to.
And it seems like you've come to a point where in your life where you're just accepting this is not you. That's not what you want to be. And you don't need to be that.
Yeah, it's just okay. Not.
So you started to.
I'm thinking from my daughter. I mean, I don't like thinking for other people. I don't like my. I just don't like.
Even for your daughter, you don't.
I'm not a chess player.
Okay, so you built up this business. It's doing well. You start to. I'm going to use the word flake out on it. You're okay with that, all right? So you start to flake out on the business. Suddenly you ease yourself out of it because you're not doing very well. And then you start to look at the pill business and you're looking at it and your blood starts to rise. Am I buying into your PR story or is this really what happened?
Well, because all the doctors who were selling weight loss promoted our stuff, all of a sudden I have a weight loss list, huge one. You look at me, I'm really not that interested in weight loss. So anyway, but I had this thing and then all these supplement companies would always hit me up, you know, in the wrong way. Instead of like, hey, I got the science thing. You want to review it? It'd be like, hey man, promote this pill. You'll make this the wrong way. The slimy fuckers. And I know enough about science. My mom has a doctorate in physiology and kind of ran it by her. Like, does any of this fucking shit work, man? She's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. But I was like, could there be
things? You take the pills to your mom and you say, mom, could this even work?
I'm just sending not the pills. People would ask me to promote their shit. I'd send them to their website, send the ingredients, like, you know. And then also, I know how to read shit. And I can read literature. So yeah, so like,
your mom's a doctor.
What's that?
Your mom's a doctor.
Doctorate in physiology.
Doctorate in physiology. Yeah, but physiology doesn't let her understand what's in a pill.
She can read research. And it's all about, can you, you go to, you get those degrees and you learn, so you can read journals.
Okay, right? So she's going to go and read the research and say, this is BS.
Right.
So why don't you say, hey, you know what? This is all just BS. I got to move on from this whole world. Why do I need to be associated? Why don't you have that thought as opposed to, I could get in there and I could do my own thing?
No, then you want to find out, is there something that could work?
And is it that, or is it, I want to make more money. I want to start again.
Probably both.
Both. All right. Fair enough. All right. Let me take a moment to talk about my second sponsor. Speaking of money, this is a company you didn't want to hear from first, but I think you're going to love. Okay. Who does your books? I always ask entrepreneurs this. Who does your books?
We have a friend that runs a virtual CFO company.
Oh, and really? What's the name of the friend? They're
amazing. ABL Growth Partners. And so
ABL Growth Partners?
Yeah, the Boulder, like, and there's no natural food company that doesn't have them. So they do all your financial strategy, like real shit, giant clients, and then they're part of our group.
Full stack CFO firm, and they will even do your books on a monthly basis.
Yeah, then they have a different prices. So they gave us our strategy, like, because again, we're terrible with money, and so John Rose is the guy there, and he's like, no, you guys need to do accounting this way because you're an event company. Like, okay, and then. Well, who's going to do it? So he found us Mindy, and she does our books. So we just trust him with anything because Hollis and I, you met Hollis. Neither of us are the people, again, to be trusted.
Yeah, Hollis seems, your co-founder, Baby Bathwater, he seems like a smart guy who also does not want to bother with the bullshit of life. And the bullshit of life is doing books.
Yeah. His dad, Hollis's dad also is a big help to us.
All right. I'm interested in this business that you have that's doing it for you. I'm looking at their website. I've got to say, I like it. It feels very high end and very high touch. What I am looking for is more of like the SaaS experience. I just want them to understand my business and do it for me and keep my books updated. The worst part of business is where you don't have your books and tax time comes around and you scramble at the last minute to get it all done. And you know that you're going to either get ripped off because you're not taking care of your numbers right, or you feel like a garbage business person because you're not getting your numbers in and you can't like file your taxes properly.
Right.
You would never play a video game without seeing the points. You wouldn't like write a blog post or a tweet without seeing how many people are liking it or sharing it or reading it or any of it, right? But still, many entrepreneurs feel so guilty that they don't pay attention. They're probably even fast-forwarding through this ad because they feel so guilty even thinking about numbers. You don't have to feel guilty about it. You don't have to find like a friend of a friend who could do your books. What you could do is just go to Bench. What Bench does is they have software that will suck in all your financial data into their software. And we're talking about like Stripe and what else? Your bank information, the whole thing. Software will organize the hell out of it. And then a human being, a real bookkeeper, will go in and make sure that it's organized properly, make sure that the numbers are tagged and categorized properly so they could give you a report on a month-to-month basis. So now, for a much lower price than you'd pay for a bookkeeper, you have your books done for you almost automatically, but let's imagine automatic with a team behind it that gets things done, and now you're starting to see what we're talking about. If you're out there and you want to try this, here's something that bookkeeping companies will not offer you, and Frank Bench never offered this until people in the audience said, hey, I found a better deal from Bench away from Mixergy. What's the deal? And Sachit, who you know, who attended your event, goes back to the sponsor of Bench going, what the hell? Our audience is telling us they're finding better deals when they're Googling around. Give us the best deal possible so this never embarrasses us. So he takes all the emails that people send us telling us that they found better prices and better offer, whatever, and he sends it to them and they say, okay, fine. Sacha, leave us alone. We're going to give you guys a great deal. And the great deal is you get to start a free trial. That means they're going to do work for you guys, if you're listening to me, to organize your books. And that's... I can't imagine why they would do this, except that Sachit must have like went in there really determined. So. And you get 20% off for the first 6 months that you work with Bench. And why is it 6 months and why is it 20%? Because frankly, their prices are super low already. Go look at their prices by going to bench.co/Mixergy. And if you could find a human being who will do this for you and you trust them, go do it. Go work with whatever agency that you want. But what I like about Bench is it's not just one human being. It's software doing it and a team of people. And if any one of them gets sick or decides they want to move on with their life or decides to flake out on their world, on their work, there's a team of other people who are there. Go sign up at bench.co/Mixergy and you're going to have your books done right. And by the way, one of the things that I like about it is there's a tweet here from Jason Fried who said, I love the idea behind Bench. It's not just software. It's a person plus software that you use to review what they've done. Really good.
I didn't know they had humans. That's fucking
real
cool.
Software and humans. I think that people don't recognize it because
I didn't know that.
My sense is for a long time they probably were showing off the software part of it because that's what people got excited about.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust that.
We now care about humans. All right, bench.co/MixerG. All right. You're seeing the opportunity financially here. My sense is also that maybe you saw a friend or two make money in this space and you said, I think I could do better by doing better quality.
I saw not friends make. I saw people I didn't like making money.
Like who? Give me an example. Oh, I love this.
Cool. There's so many. I mean, like there's Sensa would be a good example. Remember the Taste It?
No.
Who had the Appetite.
What is this?
Sensa.
So they Sensa. Had this, you would put it on your tongue and it would suppress your appetite.
It was supposed to make you eat less, right?
Okay.
And then he was the biggest con ever. Like, Google Sensa. So they would, he was the biggest scam ever. So they
acted
like.
Oh, I see. The FTC got them a big refund. I just searched them. The first result that came up was an FTC.
Yeah, and then you have like these guys selling this oolong tea, which they said was, and then they named it some other name and they acted like it had more fat burning capabilities. Like the guy's doing that. And
you know who I saw doing this? I'm almost reluctant to bring up his name, but I will. Brad Greenspan. He is the guy who would every time I'd go to his office in LA, he would have another company that he was running. He had this publicly traded company that just kept churning out these different businesses. If somebody was selling little remote control cars for like 10 bucks, he'd go find the guy in China who was making it, buy it too for like $2 and sell it via email also. He had one time I walked into his office, it was like an MLM business that he was creating from scratch. Another time he started MySpace. So basically he funded the guys behind MySpace. And so MySpace was kicking off from his office. Every time. And one of the businesses he had was, I believe, I could be wrong, was a weight loss pill business or some kind of pill business. And if I'm off on that, it might have been like an anti-aging cream business, something like that. But it was making money on a subscription basis. And I'd watch this and go, what the hell? This huge opportunity here. But I couldn't bring myself to get into it. No. You could. Because you thought you could do it better.
Yeah, I thought I had something real.
Better than Sensa? Sensa was like was a hit before the FTC.
Right, it was crap. I knew it was a crap for the FTC and the way they deceptively marketed. Yeah,
why didn't you say, hey, you know what? It's basically people don't know what's in this. Sensa and all these other guys, maybe they're doing better, maybe because they're better at marketing. And how am I going to compete with all these guys by telling my customers, read the fine print and go do the research?
No, yeah. you take the thing that's missing, which is the research and the ingredients, and you put it front and center and you educate. So we started off with like a 35-minute video. Bought traffic to it, explaining one, the hormonal thing, and explaining each ingredient and showing people the research. Like, real fucking simple. So it's just called edutainment. So you have to educate and explain to people. And there are smart people. So yeah, are you going to be a $1 billion company? Probably not. But there's enough smart people who want good stuff. And you can see now, like, I think the supplement world now is better than it's a better world now than when we entered it. A lot of people are doing better things now than they were before. And there's always been good brands. It's not like everybody was bad. And there's lots of different ways. So like look at New Chapter, right? What do they sell for? Like $1 billion. And I like them. And they're opposite of us. So it's not a science company, but they're like, wait a second, like it's full spectrum. Let's use all natural stuff. I respect the hell out of that company. It's opposite branding of like our company, but they're legit and they're giving like making real stuff. And I think it was Procter & Gamble acquired. I mean, they're not full of shit.
I see New Chapter. I never heard of New Chapter. I'm Googling this as you're telling me. They are a company that sells supplements. Discover New Chapter Difference. Okay, most popular products, bone strengthening, Take Care Slim Tablets. Another thing that's popular is Every Woman's One Daily Multivitamin. At least that's according to their website. Okay. So you're saying, look, I saw an opportunity here. I decided I was going to jump on it.
There are other high-quality companies for different reasons. So okay. The all-natural ones. Garbage.
You mentioned we. Who's we? It's you and who else?
Who's legit?
No, who else was running this business with you, Real Dose Nutrition?
A guy named Buck, who had a supplement company before, which I wasn't a fan of, but he knew at the time I didn't know where to get stuff made.
He knew how to make it.
Yeah, he knew that world.
Okay, and you knew how to sell it.
I had the market. I was the brand positioning. And also, yeah. And then Buck knows how to sell too. And then Steve is a doctor. He went to Baylor and UCLA. He's a real doc. He could do the medical stuff. And also, it's the irony is he actually ran all the finances because he actually has a better business background than us. So he's kind of ops / medical advisor, which is great. He's really good at it. So, yeah.
Who is this person? The other person?
Steve, Dr. Steve.
I see it. Yeah, on the homepage, Dr. Steve Siskind.
He's a mensch. Yeah, he's a good
chief
man.
Chief medical officer. He was right on the homepage right from the beginning. I'm looking at the Internet Archive.
Funny story. We had formulated it, right? And we had the pills and the argument, and I was looking for doctors to review it, right? So I knew we wanted a doctor involved in some sort. So I thought maybe, you know, somebody get involved, they write us a testimonial, be an advisor of sorts. Gave it to Steve. He liked it, gave it to some friends, and also started researching it. He wanted an opportunity, and he actually said how much to be part of the company. So he actually invested in us to take over a third of the company. And then we were like, what can you do besides be the doctor? He goes, I actually have a background. I can run companies.
So he can run companies.
Yeah, because he actually was like, I think CEO at the Franklin Mint. So he was a doctor.
He was the CEO of the Franklin Mint?
Yeah, he had built big shit.
Oh, I had no idea. As an entrepreneurial kid, they used to get my imagination going because they would sell these coins. They weren't like real U.S. coins, but they were commemorative. They would
– right.
Because you don't need the president's permission to put him on a coin and commemorate the fact that he just got in office again, right?
I think he owned some of it. So he had a background. Still owned,
okay.
So he is a business guy and a doctor. He loved the thing and he wanted in. And it's kind of a nice combination of us three. You know, we just came out and we had, again, all these friends, and I had my most – all a bunch of weight loss fans, and we bankrolled the company with affiliates and then quickly moved to MediaBuy.
And how'd you find affiliates? Same affiliate network as before.
I already had all the affiliates. And so, but I didn't want to create that one thing that I had to lead. I mean, the grind of affiliates is then you end up with fake relationships. So after a while, that became very taxing. And that was probably the biggest reason I burned out is these relationships I have with people promoting us all the time. A lot of them weren't really real. It's really fucking tiring. And then you're going to these masterminds, you're going to this, you're going to that. They're making you all this money. And, you know, I'm not going to say I hated everybody, but after a while, it got real fucking old not being able to choose my friends. And having these people too responsible, you know, it's a lot.
How does this whole affiliate world work? I don't know it. And you know what? Here's who does know it. I got a text message from Justin Hartman, the founder of Needles, while you and I were talking. He sells software, but he somehow has a connection to the affiliate world. And so he's selling his software. Actually, what is it called? Like robo ad buying or something. It's a funded company, fully on like mainstream Silicon Valley type company, but he still understands the affiliate world. So he goes to these freaking affiliate events all the time and he gets them to sell his software, and no software person is selling through them the way that he does. So he gets it. Tell me about how this world works. So bring it to my software audience.
Okay. So one is there's a couple different worlds in affiliate marketing. So that's what most people get fucking confused. So there's network affiliate networks, which is impersonal. So what you have then is you'll have aggregate. They're called CPA networks, and they're aggregate exchanges. And
like has offers.
No,
has offers was a software.
Has offers is software. No.
Okay.
Fucking networks.
What's an example of a network?
So a network will recruit. They'll find an offer. So your offer, and that's all. So all the scammy supplement software shit, the free trial shit, payday loans, they all go in there like, I'll pay, you know, $40 for a lead. Or I'll pay $200 for this, like crazy inflated prices. Because what they're doing is free trial offers, rebilling people, rotating mids, taking money from people. Or EDU is big on this too. They'll pay out these big payouts, and then they'll go to the network to say, look, this offer, and they'll show their data.
Okay. Here's how much you get. Is that a good source of affiliates, or was it? It was not.
No, okay.
Because you'd get people who just burned through you because they didn't know you.
I would never use them in a million years. I know that world because I like to know everything I'm doing. So yeah, that's what I call the dark net of affiliates. But that's where most of the money's made. And then they recruit super affiliates, and those people are the floggers. So you know, you read like, how in the world is this woman's day with this fucking testimony? Like, how in the world is this happening? They're fucking making it up, and they're tricking Google, they're tricking everybody, and they're rotating accounts. It's a world of criminals. They go to events like AdSum or Affiliate Summit. That's where all the criminals are. And they make a lot of money, but it's all crap in, crap out. It's a big fucking game. So that's one way affiliate marketing works, the networks. And if you have a real
And you're saying that doesn't work, stay away from that.
Well, if you want to make a lot of money, do it. If you want to scam people, great. If you have a real company, then it's really a one-by-one game. So it's
just go to each individual person, and that's where you go to these masterminds, the like you go to Silver event because some of the top people will be there and you network with them.
Business. For me, no, because that wasn't health. I'm not in that world.
Oh, right, because they do digital marketing.
Yeah, that wasn't my world.
So what are some events that you'd go to just to network with people who
health shows.
Like what? Like
Michael Fishman's show, CHS is great.
So you pay, you fly out to the event, you're hanging out, you're taking people to dinner, you're hoping that some of them will become affiliates, that they promote your stuff, they get a share of the sales. And they're looking for products to sell that they could promote and will make more money than advertising on their site.
And what happens is, I think most of the money is made merchant to merchant in health. So, you're selling a diet book? Well, I got a diet pill. And those are the better lists. So they're not, so you're each other's affiliates. Those are called joint ventures. And those happen in the high end health world. That's why I had to get out of it. That's why.
So you go back to someone who has a big list because they're selling health books, and you say, "Hey, you know what? You should be selling this pill because some people who believe in your book."
I got a fish oil. You got a bar. Let's go, right? Whatever. But that's why I had to get out, because it's just after a while, man. It's a grind. But that's what the high end people do.
Do people come to Baby Bathwater to try to network like that to find affiliates?
We don't allow it.
You don't allow it. You don't want to be associated with that at all.
You're not allowed to go to my event and ask somebody to promote your fucking bestseller. You're not allowed to go ask for somebody to fucking do that. You're gone if you do that. We wanted to create a safe place.
Okay. So you were building these affiliate relationships at the time. That's what helped you sell. You were finally starting to get some sales coming in, millions of dollars a month.
We with our affiliates, you know, the people who were ready to launch RealDust with us, because it was a good offer, and I think it fucking made people a lot of money. We did that for about 4 months and put a shitload of money in the bank. And then, because here's the problem when you try to buy media, right? Like, we were doing well on Google. It takes a while to test, right? So if you expect to like take $2,000, right, and make that and think you're going to get enough traffic to really work on your offer and work on everything and make that work, good fucking luck, right? So you want to get a war chest. You need to be able to lose money to figure it out. It takes a while to get an offer working on media. We'd assembled we'll call the houses money. You know, they go to Vegas and you get lucky and you're like, wow, I just fucking, you know, everybody loses in Vegas, but every once in a while you get lucky that first night. Like, I'm going to put my credit cards in the fucking room and I can just gamble this away, play with houses money. I lose, but I didn't lose. That's kind of the way we looked at the affiliate money. So we had a lot of money to figure out our offer and to make that work. And that's what happened. And then we got it up and we figured out.
And once you had your offer, you said, forget this. We're going to start buying ads everywhere.
That's your offer. Yeah, we had our offer, made money with affiliates. It's easy with affiliates because you're getting what's called a warm lead. So when somebody like, or Mark Hyman or whatever, best-selling doctor says, you need to get this pill because it's the best and I can prove it. You know, you don't really have to have a great offer, right? It's warm. But when you start buying media, the cold traffic's not the same. So what works with affiliates does not work in cold media. So people think they can – I have people all the time.
You know what? I still heard what I wanted to hear and not what you were saying, which is these are two different worlds. You can't learn from one and bring it to the other.
Man, they don't work. So it's a very different thing. So if I say, go to Baby Bathwater, and you never heard of it, you hit this page, it's very different from Andrew going, go to Baby Bathwater. It's a very different thing. And you tell you, so that's what affiliate marketing, you're faking a warm relationship. That's why it's kind of halfway deceitful, like you're alluding to. It's a way to do it.
But you wanted to switch away because it just was a grind to get affiliates and you wanted a more dependable way to grow.
It wasn't a grind getting it, it was a grind keeping the relationship, especially if I didn't like it.
So couldn't you just hire someone to be your affiliate manager who would just go and be the smiler?
They do well, but it never really works that well. They never know enough. And then they always moonlight, and then they have their own. So it's, you have affiliate managers out there. I never met one that was as good as a founder.
Okay.
Ever.
You told our producer one of the issues that you had at Real Dose Nutrition was you had 3 leaders. Nobody agreed who the boss was.
Yeah, so we were bad leaders. So we had – well, and also, you know how it goes. So we're rocking it. The affiliate thing works. We hit Pater. We got this great media buyer. Things went fucking great. So we were, it's like Narnia. So we were doing over $1 million a month really quickly. And then bam, right? So we had a really quick rise. Everything's fucking great. And then we were all virtual. And like, if nothing we could do was wrong. It was fucking nuts. And And then when we first hit our first like snafu, like when things started leveling out and then we had some problems with Google, it was like, oh wow, like real company stuff. I think it was pretty clear to all of us that we were in trouble as a team.
What was the problem with Google?
Running our ads. And that's anybody buying media will tell you, I mean, you have to deal with the Facebook and the Google guides and the Taboola guides and the operating guides.
Okay, and so that this stuff comes up and now it's a real business. You've got to go and figure this out. And that's and so how did that affect you?
Well, it put a lot of pressure on us because we had it easy. And then we realized where our personalities didn't mesh. So we didn't, you know, we didn't have defined roles. We were all just doing what we wanted. Everything was great, hiring whoever we wanted. And so as the pressure hit, our personalities did not mesh. So that's really it. They're good people. I think they'd say I was a good guy, but I think, and I'm a more brash, strong personality, I think, overall. I'm a, more of a bully. And I think I annoyed the fuck out of them and vice versa. Like,
when you say you're a bully, how was it? What's an example of a bullying thing that would annoy them?
I can be snarky, and if I don't think something's right, I say it. So I'm very outspoken. Outspoken could be the right word, and that can come across
wrong. And that pissed them off? And then how do they bother you? How do they irritate you?
Well, they were more passive aggressive, so it just created some problems. And I'm aware of that. And also, I could have handled things a lot differently. But anyway, doesn't work. But it's obviously we weren't the right team. We even hired an executive coach, and they did personality profiles. Like, we hired this guy. Was it like Steven Sisler, I think is his name? But anyway, a pretty high-dollar guy, and he gave us all personality tests and interviewed us all. And then we were, like, waiting for, like, him to offer us counseling. Because I would offer you counseling, but it's not going to work. One of you guys has to be.
One of you, not two, and leave one person in charge.
So any of the two of us could work together, but not all three of us.
Ah, I see. Okay.
And then I was kind of – and then I realized who I am. Like, I was kind of already ready to go. And I was ready to stop anyway. And I had a feeling we were peaking just to write. Because we, again, especially in media buying, like, nothing – you can't sit. I mean, you might have seen your podcast and what you're doing. Like, if you just keep doing the same thing over and over or not rebranding or not developing, you're going to die. And so we were at the phase where either we were going to go down or we needed to do some new shit. And I didn't think that we had the energy to do it, us three. Like, we did it, everything worked out, but we didn't have the energy as a team to redo it, and it required a redo. What we were doing then was no longer going to work. You can fucking see it. We weren't really seeing it yet, but you can
see it. It has to just keep happening over and over and over for the whole life of the business, you're saying.
You always got to reiterate. You can never sit. Life isn't like that anymore. I mean, I'm sorry. You got to always make things better. Not just your fucking marketing. You got to things change, man. And the stuff and then good brands started coming up. Like, you know, Bulletproof came, Onnit came, some really cool brands with a different kind of more modern position came on, and you know that were actually really cool. I respect a lot of these brands, and so some more fresh people came, man. And the podcast thing started happening. We weren't built for that. So what are we going to do? So we would have to kind of, we never did. That's why it kind of sits there, in my opinion, is because I think I know we had the best products, but we didn't really have, but we would have had this rebrand. Like, I know we have superior products, but we didn't have a personality. And so things changed, and I didn't feel like doing the energy of retooling it again. And it would have had to be way, and you have to be way more, you have to show a lot more yourself now to make your brand work. And I didn't want to do that. That's not, I didn't want to be that. And Steve isn't that. So, you know what I'm saying? So it required a rebrand, and that was going to be a lot of fucking work. And people with great brands came.
You know what? I'm looking at Bulletproof. You're right. He does keep refreshing his brand, refreshing his product offering. He now has an Instamix Bulletproof coffee in a packet. They just add to hot. I'm guessing you just added to hot water. I didn't get a chance to fully read it. No blender, no refrigeration required. Quickly and easily.
I'm on Dave's Put Advisors. Like, he has it. He was the new breed.
He's a new what?
He's a new breed.
He came in. But he keeps reinventing. He came to your event. That's how you know him. And you're one of his advisors. He didn't come to your event?
I was an advisor way before he came to my event. I didn't even invite him to my event because I didn't think he fit in. And he wondered why he wasn't invited. And I said, because you're... I think you're going to have a hard time coming out of costume. And he said he
because he's such a performer, he can't just be himself. And you want people to be themselves.
So he did. He actually did.
And he came and he was himself.
And then now he's a member and he loved it. Yeah, that was – no, I was helping him way before Baby Bathwater was even a thought.
Because you were in the same space, and what did he want to learn from you?
this goes to the story. So I was out with him at dinner in New York with a bunch of other kind of health people. And I drink a lot, as some people know. He doesn't. And he was in that issue with the Rogan thing, with the, anyway, getting himself in fucking trouble. And I was yelling at him. I was like, I didn't even know him hardly, just barely met him. I was like, man, you have such a fucking great brand. If you just fucking just stop all that and just fucking stick with the science, you have a great thing, but stop doing all that. And the next morning at breakfast, we're all at the same hotel. He said, I want to talk to you. I was like, fuck, man, like, what'd I say? And he goes, dude, do you want to be on my board of advisors? I need somebody to talk to me like that. So actually my job, so yeah, I'm not responsible for strategy or any of that, just to tell him the fucking truth, which is pretty big of him. So he just wanted me to tell him my opinion, just to tell him shit like that. So I'm not like the architect or any of that crap, but I'm just kind of a truth teller to him. It's worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I had no idea this whole Joe Rogan thing existed. I just did a search now for Bulletproof and Rogan, and it's a whole bunch of Joe Rogan says Bulletproof coffee is bullshit type articles. So what do you advise him to do in a situation like that?
I mean, to stop causing those situations. I mean, that situation had nothing to do, but he needed to stop saying stuff.
Just stop obsessing about Joe Rogan.
He needed to be a little more careful what he said. So.
I see. Take what Joe Rogan is saying as a warning to stop going overboard with the claims.
He's great. I mean, it's such good stuff. You know, let the truth speak. It's right there. Like, it's so good. Why mess with it?
So he's got cafes opening up in place. You know, there's a place in Napa that makes a knockoff of his freaking coffee. There's a place here in San Francisco that makes a knockoff of his coffee. Even the knockoffs are delicious.
But he created a whole category.
Yes.
I mean, have you read the book Play Bigger?
No, never heard of it.
Come on.
Play Bigger?
The best book ever. So Chris Lockey, we are friends with him. Actually, he's, read it. But yeah, so basically what he's saying is, and also like, so when I read it, I was like, wow, like, I've been lame all my life. He's like, don't fucking create that. He goes, create the fucking aisle. Like, play bigger. Like, don't fucking be on the aisle. Don't be a podcast. Be fucking podcasting. You know, and that's how you create like real companies. And so every time I read that, like, it's funny because Paul's my partner. He can get a hold of anybody. I read the book. I was like, fucking crazy. We got to get it. And of course, Paul's like, I think I'm skiing with him next week. Paul has a weird way of skiing with important people. And sure enough, he's skiing with this guy. And then we got him on. We talk to him all the time. He's kind of our informal advice giver. And that's what we're trying to do with our thing. It's like, fuck being this. Be the fucking aisle or go home.
How are you guys doing it with Baby Bathwater?
Well, we had already created Baby Bathwater before we read the book. So
is it too late then?
I don't know. It's a good fucking question. But now that I read, you know, you read something and you're like, I don't want to be there. Because then you're like, well, that's kind of me, but I don't want to be me. I want to, you know, I'm inspired now.
Let me close out Real Dose Nutrition and get into Baby Bathwater for a little bit. Real Dose Nutrition, I see that one of the three of you needed to walk away. It became you. How do you get cash out of a situation like that? Do you sell your shares to the other two founders? That's what you did.
Yeah, I don't want to get too much of that's private. What net is I still have like, they took 23 of my points. I don't have to do anything. Don't take salary anymore, blah, blah, blah. And they found an investor and them to, I wanted it to be easy because it wasn't acrimonious. And so we agreed on that price and they bought them out as they wanted. So it wasn't like.
You brought an investor to buy you out and they got to buy the investor out over time?
No, they kind of with the investor agreed to buy out those points. Yeah. Agreed to buy out 23 points over a time, and I wasn't a dick about the time period.
Okay.
At a price.
All right. Right? You got the money and your wife and dad put it away in long term stuff. Yeah. Like what, real estate?
Conservative. I mean,
I'm not going to get into a finance show over here, but I do understand now. All right, Baby Bathwater then. Do you understand? Yeah. One of the issues with Baby Bathwater is no one knows what the hell it is. So if I say to someone, you should come to Baby Bathwater, I have to go through this whole explanation of it. How do you communicate what Baby Bathwater is? If someone's listening to me, here's me get excited about Baby Bathwater, and they say, I'm interested, but how do I tell my partner this is where I'm going to go for a few days?
Our team gets mad at us too because we can never give them a definition because it's hard. Because we never market it. It's just a one by one thing. I mean, because that's the whole thing. We're an event. I mean, strictly, you know, we are an event mastermind company, although we don't want to be called either. You know, so because we have a location. I mean, and what? Yeah, I'm just. It's best in reference to other things. Like when you
because it's got, a ski. Here's the thing that turned me off for a while. There, it's at a ski resort. I could go skiing, but people tell me a lot of people who attend don't even go skiing, right? Because I can go skiing anytime. So the idea is, it's a bunch of people who you select who get together and just kind of hang out, and each of them or some of them will talk about what they do for work. No, go ahead.
Okay, so we wanted to have. You know, set and setting, but it's really all about, I mean, what makes us different is the people we choose, I think. And then the set and setting is beautiful and all that, but without the people, like I'd rather be with our people at a fucking Marriott in Des Moines than with almost any event I've ever gone to at our location. Not even close. So it's the people first. So people are everything. It's the way we vet people and the way we curate. You're a little bit the same, kind of like how you choose and how you vet and the depth we go. Like when I talk to you, like I really want to know you're fucking adding value. So it's about how we curate the people. And then the set and setting, one thing we found problems with masterminds is either you're stuck in a room all day. Nobody wants to be fucking stuck in a room. If they're smaller and you're supposed to be here, supposed to be there. Nobody wants to be bossed around. That's why we're entrepreneurs, right? You want to be free to do what you want. So you got to give people choices and options to do the day as they wish. And then people want to learn how to, a couple things. They want to learn how to grow their businesses. They want to learn how to get freedom, like that's wealth, things like that. I'd say half our conversations are investing and personal wealth kind of things, or grow your brand. And then we do have an emphasis on marketing because we have a lot of contacts there. And so what we do is we always have, at any time during the day, there's two pieces of content to choose from. So if you want to go for a workshop and learn about the newest in Facebook media acquisition, go do that. If you want to learn, you know, like when cameras there about how to hire a COO and all that, go learn that. Or go skiing, or go for a hike, or grab a fucking beer, or make a Bloody Mary, or sleep in, meet your new friends. So we wanted to have both at the same time without feeling weird that you're not in the room. Like a lot of times you go to things and, oh, you're in an office, like, what the fucking lobby? Like hotel lobbies, or you feel weird that you're even missing out because then you get the dirty looks that you're not in the content. Or you're supposed to be here for the speech.
I know. I always feel so guilty about that. And I'm paying to go to this event. Mm. I don't want to go to the event. I'm only doing it so that I can hang out with the people there. And right. Now I'm thinking, I'm specifically not even going to this event. What is it called? It's Digital Marketer. Someone on my team says, you've got to go and meet some of the people over there. So I go, fine. I'm actively planning things to do to not be at the event itself. No offense to them, but I'm not going to sit in an event.
Nobody will. That's more of a congregation. Yeah, most people go there, don't buy tickets. They just hang out in San Diego.
I feel like I'm going to, I don't know. I'm actively planning other things to do while I'm there.
We wanted to be the aisle, but we are.
But you're not sure yet how to be the aisle because it's.
An event of content, and we have in between a mastermind that's, again, invite only, and you can't be in unless we've gotten drunk with you. So that's kind of the thing. Is like, do we have to really know people well before they're in our inner circle? And then we're not, and we don't do the genius network crap where we charge people 25 anyway. So we try not to exploit people in that.
You should.
But I will say out loud, like we looked at the things we hated. There's a theme. Every company I've created or been a part of is because I hated something I want to do better. Now I want to change the aisle, but it might be too late on this. Is I looked at Joe Polish's crap and I'm like, fuck this. And I don't like celebrity or any of that crap. Like, let's just do everything he does. Let's do the opposite. That was one of our big things. It's like, I don't want to be that or any genius, whatever, or next level or 10X your crap. No, you can't do that. Can't be a part of that. That makes sense.
I think of it like this, that I remember going to this one conference. I can't even remember the name of the conference where I said, I think I want to add a membership to my site. And I don't know how to deal with that or how to set it up. And there was a guy there, another entrepreneur, who just started to, the founder of BidSketch, who just started to put together the way that I would do a membership. And he basically built it for me right there. And it didn't take him long. It took him maybe 10, 20 minutes or something to get it started. But for him, it was fast. For me, it took days. There's another conference where I went to and I hung out with, they flew me over to speak and I go in there, I speak and I have this great interaction with the audience. And then I meet one of the other speakers and we disappear on the conference for 5 hours. And we're just talking about business, and he tells me stuff he'll never say. Like,
right.
We talk about sex with our wives, which I don't get into that with people. But it's important for me to, like, this is the way that I think. How do we talk about it? How do we deal with this? The other one was what do I take my business? What do you, how do you do these partnerships? The whole thing. It was such an interesting conversation. That's all I want. And from what I hear, that's what's going to happen at Baby Bathwater. And Sachit went there and he loved it. And Sachit hardly ever goes to conferences too. So I figure I'm going to go and check it out.
It's good. Right. He taught people how to negotiate with podcasters. What is it? He taught people how to negotiate with podcasters.
He did. He's a good damn negotiator, isn't he?
The bulldog. He uses you as the heavy too. He's like, oh, Andrew, no way. He'll never allow me to do that. He sort of uses you as the person, like you're his bad cop.
I am kind of a pain in the ass, which frankly is what kept me from selling ads at all, because I was too much of a pain in the ass. And then he said, all right, I think I could soften you up. Don't talk to them. Let me work it out. Right. For a long time, I didn't even want to do ads. I felt like, because you heard, you talked about a competitor in the ad. I'm not looking to be overly nice. I hope that it works out well for Bench, but we'll see. All right. Not anyone who's interested in going to check you out, I think the best place to check you out is what babybathwater.com is the site, right?
That's our main site. But if you want to see like the latest event, you go to babybathwaterinstitute.com. And that's always like the apply form. And the way that works, babybathwaterinstitute.com will always be. And Baby Bathwater, you can find it too, but it's easier.
Oh, I see. March 18th. So I went to Baby Bathwater Institute, and it took me to the latest link, and that's where I saw Dave Asprey. Am I pronouncing his name right?
Asprey. Yeah.
Asprey, the Bulletproof Coffee guy, Dan Martell. That's where I saw all these people who were there. All right. Anyone who's there or thinking of going there, please email me. I want to meet you before by text so we can text and head over there and see each other. Wasn't it that I was doing an interview with the guy from the Dollar Beard Club as he was just leaving your event, right?
Yeah,
I was a pain in the ass with him because I doubted it. I looked at my notes and I go, my team just got snowed. You have to be more aggressive with these guests. You can't just get taken in. And so I get on a call with him and I say, listen, can I see your numbers? He's like, all right, whatever, dude. And he starts showing me his numbers on Skype and showing me that he really did make $1 million selling dollar like oil for your beer. And I go, what the hell? And we did an interview. It was killer. But he was on his way away from your conference to an airplane when I confronted him in my interview.
It's funny. Somebody referred them, and I was kind of like, I'm not a big fan of the thing. And then Hollis talked to him. He's like, no, these guys are fucking awesome. Like, they're nice. Because we don't care how much you make. I don't give a fuck how much you make. I care about your personality. You got to be nice. So I was like, these looks like kind of a dick, you know? And Hollis said, no, this guy's great. So they came, him and Alex Brown, who like runs this company. See, he's great. He's amazing. Stoikos is amazing at finding people to do all the work. So Alex Brown, like, is a genius, and he's like one of my best. He runs Stoikos just because he's Stoikos, and Alex runs the fucking, Alex is amazing, runs everything, right? And Stoikos just does that. He just gets talent around him, and his video team, you know, they just.
Yeah, I wonder how he does that. How does.
It's a charisma he has and just a way of being, and they want it, and he inspires them, like, and he teaches them, and yeah, and they love him.
I wonder if he's also good at letting go. I think that's one of my challenges.
Yeah. He lets go, but then he gets manic. He's kind of manically focused, and then he lets go, and then. So he's like really intense and then he lets go. But yeah, and he's a nice fucking dude. But yeah, they came to our thing and they did like, what did they like? We had done $12 million and their car was broken. Like, we like got to be kidding. Like, I was like, I can't even do anything. He's like, no, we're fucking, but we still made $12 million. And so my friend Henry Fuentes, who's like one of the partners in Six Pack Shortcuts, built this $120 million. He's also a CTO and he fixed everything for him. But like, they were doing that much with a car that didn't work on mobile. Broken, not just fucked up, and it's crazy.
Yeah, I want to talk to people like that. Is it called still Dollar Beard Club? I heard he was going to change the name. I guess it's Beard. What is it called now?
Yeah, I think they had to get rid of the dollar name for some legal reasons. I think it's just Beard Club. And there's a bunch of other guys like. There's
oh
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I see. It's thebeardclub.com now. Yeah, yeah, he still like, does great videos though.
It's amazing. And then there's Live Bearded, right? Also cooler and shit. These guys are cool. And then they're all friends. So there's like a beard cabal now. So Stoikos and Alex, and then the Live Bearded, those guys are great. Kind of higher end beard oil. For people care a little
I'm
more.
On the site.
But they're
no.
like buddies. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So there's a whole beard conglomerate.
They might as well. That's how they end up like selling to each other or
co-competition.
Buying.
And they all hang out and then they all be beards.
All right. I'm going to see you in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. At Baby Bathwater, anyone who's interested should go to babybathwaterinstitute.com. And remember, email me so that we can exchange phone numbers and text each other if you're heading over so we could see each other there. My email address is andrew@mixergy.com. Cool. And the two sponsors you guys heard me talk about today are hiring a developer or designer or finance person, go to TopTal. They're going to have a conversation with you and help you hire the best fit for you. That's top as in top of your head, tal as in talent, toptal.com/mixergy. And if you need somebody to do your books for you, software and services combined to do it right at a good price and very accurate, go check out bench.co/mixergy. Michael, thanks for doing this.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
You bet. Killer. Bye, everyone.